The poet Ovid tells a wonderful story about King Ceyx of Thrasus. King Ceyx was married to Alcyone, daughter of Aeolus. Aeolus was the son of Poseidon and god of the winds. And the love between Ceyx and Alcyone was so profound and so strong that it was a model of love for everyone in the kingdom. And they all looked up to their king and queen and marveled at how much in love they were with each other. Now it happens that King Ceyx's brother dies and his body is not recovered. And Ceyx is filled with grief, weighed down with it. And he comes up with the idea of going to the oracle at Delphi and to try to find out where his brother's body is so that he can recover it and bury him. And Alcyone doesn't want him to go. It's winter and the winds are the worst and the seas and the waves are the worst and many ships are swamped and or crash and everyone aboard dies and she doesn't want him to go. But his grief compels him and he goes anyway. And sure enough, a great storm arises and capsizes the boat. And King Ceyx and everyone on the boat dies. And Morpheus, the god of death and dreams, comes to Alcyone in her dreams and tells her that Ceyx is dead. And she is shattered by her grief. And she goes out to the shore, the rocky shore, and looks at the waves being whipped up by the wind. And she laments the death of her beloved Ceyx. And she sees a body in the distance and she says, look, there's another body, which means there's another widow somewhere mourning the death of her beloved just like me. And as the waves bring the body closer, she realizes that it's the body of Ceyx. And she tears at her clothes in grief and leaps out into the rocky shore and waters, surely to her death. The gods have pity on her and transform her into a halcyon bird. And she flies to the body of her beloved and wraps his body in her wings and weeps. And the gods bring him to life as a halcyon bird too. And they fly off together. And the story is that the halcyon bird makes its nest on the waters, and 7 days before the winter solstice and 7 days after the winter solstice, Aeolus, in honor of his daughter and her husband, commands the winds to withdraw, so that the nest of the halcyon bird can float on still waters and they can reproduce. It's a fun story. It's a beautiful story. And being someone who likes to analyze stories, I note that we start with Halcyon's grief and we end with Alcyone's grief. We start with the boat that crashes and we end with these birds that create a nest that's a boat that floats upon the calm waters. And of course, this is the origin of the phrase, the halcyon days. How many of you have heard that phrase? A number of you, good. The halcyon days are the good old days. The good old days. And one of the things I notice about the phrase the halcyon days is that when you think of this story, the phrase is meant to image for us the calm waters and the loving birds on their boat of a nest. And it ignores all of the tragedy and the grief and the trauma that led up to that. And one of the challenges that we human beings face is that when we look backwards, we edit. And we only see the best of days of yore. We don't notice the worst. And when we get spiritually out of balance, one of the things that happens is that we look to the past and we see God at work there. And that's a brilliant, wonderful thing. But then we forget that God can work today and in the future. One of my favorite silly movies is the movie Moonstruck. And in that movie, one of the characters' mother is dying in Italy, and she suddenly is well and coming back to life. The character played by Cher says to her mother, who's played by Olympia Dukakis, "I thought she was dying. Well, she got better. It's a miracle." And Cher says, "This is modern times. There ain't supposed to be no miracles." And that's truly the way it is sometimes. It's easier for us to see God at work in the past than it is to see God at work today. And one of the challenges that we have, especially in Advent, we look to the past, to Christmas, we count the days to the celebration of the birth of Christ, and that's wonderful. And we look to the future in our readings and prayers to the end of all time when Christ comes again. And that's wonderful too. But those two ends of history are meant to focus our attention on now and ask us to look for how Christ is coming to us now. And sometimes that's the hard part. It's easy to think of God at work in the halcyon days. It's harder to think of God at work today. In the reading from Haggai, the Jewish exiles have been sent home. They've sent home by Cyrus. They're sent home by Cyrus, king of Persia. And he says, "Go into the royal treasury and get out all the things that were in your temple and go home and rebuild your temple." And Cyrus does this because he's a Zoroastrian. And Zoroastrians believe at the end of the age there's going to be a great battle between the god of light, Ahur Mazda, and his forces against the god of darkness. And Angrimanu is the god of darkness and his forces. And the Zoroastrians believe that the god of the Israelites was on the side of Ahur Mazda, the god of light. And so for Cyrus of Persia, he wants all the temples up and in running and all the gods of the light side happy. Because that's what he wants, that's the side he wants to win this great battle that he thinks is going to happen. So he sends the Israelites back to rebuild the temple, and they get home and they start to work on the temple, and pretty soon folks get caught up in that same old dynamic. Oh, I can imagine the beauty and the glory of the temple in the past. The temple of our halcyon days is wonderful. I'm worried that this temple will never be like that. It'll never be like it once was. It won't be as beautiful as it once was. It won't be as wonderful as it once was. And God comes along and says, "Excuse me, God here, I'm working on this. I'm at work today. I wasn't just at work in the past. I'm at work today. And because I'm at work, it will be wonderful. Because I'm here with you." There's a thought. God says to you about your life, temple, as Paul calls it, of the Holy Spirit, and says, "It will be wonderful. I'm here with you." The same thing is happening in the gospel reading that we heard today. The Sadducees are the really arch-traditionalists. They believe that the center of Israel's religious life is supposed to be the temple. And these weird Pharisees with their modern ideas of a synagogue, they're very out there. Don't go following those Pharisees. And those Pharisees, they pay attention to the wisdom writings and the poetry and the prophets. And you should be careful about that because it's all about the Torah. It's all about the Torah. That was the first book. And it's about the temple sacrifices. And we're even going to sell ourselves out to Rome so we can keep charge of the temple and make sure the sacrifices happen. And so the Sadducees worked with the Roman officials to decide who was the high priest, and they controlled the temple. They were traditionalists. And because the Torah doesn't come right out and talk about a resurrection, they decided there isn't one. So they come to Jesus and they ask him a question about the resurrection. Now, you know they're up to something, right? You know they're up to something. These are people who don't believe in the resurrection. And they come to ask Jesus about the resurrection. They're trying to make the whole concept look ridiculous. And Jesus says, you know, your imagination isn't big enough. You're imagining the resurrection like it's more of the same. And it's different than that. It's not like marriage and given in marriage and everything else and all the structures we have today. It will be bigger than that. It will be different than that. And Jesus says, the key phrase of the whole thing, God is not God of the dead, but the living. God is not God of the dead, but the living. And he pulls their attention right back to today. And the people who are alive today, how is God with them? What promises did God give them? What is God doing with them? And that's the challenge. There's nothing wrong with looking at and treasuring and cherishing our past. There's nothing wrong with hoping for a far distant, perfect future. Those are perfectly normal human things to do. But the goal of those things is to focus our attention to right now and how God is at work right now among us today who are alive. That's Advent. Looking to see how Christ shows up today.